It's the Denver CityCast and the Bet Rivers Network. Holden Kushner with you once again. We got the Nuggets, the favorites to win it all, and they should be. We're going to talk about tonight's game, game number 6, Nuggets at the Suns in Phoenix. We've also got the Broncos schedule release. Of course, by the time you hear this, it still won't be out, but a couple of thoughts on that, because I've been doing radio shows for a long, long time, and these schedule releases usually very disappointing. The Rockies. Yeah, we're going to talk some Rockies here. They are red hot. They got a day off. They host Philadelphia tomorrow night, if it stops raining, if it ever stops raining here. But they're playing some great baseball, so it's time to get talking about them as well. But first, we need to get into the Nuggets, because I am extraordinarily excited about tonight's Game 6 in Phoenix, where the Suns, you know, this is the last gasp for them. Even if this series comes back to Denver, I just don't think the Suns have it in them to beat the Nuggets. Nuggets the better team. And even if Chris Paul was out there, I actually think that it might have been better if Chris Paul was out there, because the Suns have been playing a little bit faster without him. But the number right now, Nuggets +3, +123 in the money line. 226 is the total on this one. But then you get to the futures. The future is very, very interesting, but we'll get into that in a moment. Number one seed, the only one left. The only one left that's up in their series. There's only two of them. So Boston is down 3-2 to the Sixers. We'll see what happens tonight. The book knows. The books know that the Nuggets are a better team than the Suns. They said it before the series. They said the Suns were the better team, and they finally learned that they were wrong there. So things have shifted just a little bit. As far as the series price, I'm still not bothering with it at minus 500. If it comes back here, you know, the series price will just be whatever the money line number is. As far as winning it all, Nuggets plus 275 now. They are the favorites. Sixers plus 300. Lakers plus 450. Celtics plus 450. Warriors 7-1. Phoenix 12-1. So the books still don't believe in the Lakers or the Warriors against the Nuggets. And there is a hedge opportunity to back LA if you have a Nuggets future and you want to play it safe. You can look at the Western Conference odds, where at this point the Nuggets are even money and the Lakers are 2-1. If you think that the Suns are going to win this, they're at 7-1. So it's a great time to jump in if you think the Suns are going to win this series. I don't. And then everybody's worried about the Lakers. I'm going to talk to Ian St. Clair later from PlayColorado.com and Mile High Report. I'll guarantee you, he says, I'm worried about the Lakers again in the Western Conference Finals. AD is the biggest baby in sports. I'm actually feeling, I hope the Lakers win that series. I hope the Lakers win that series, because AD's head's going to fall off. Did you see what happened last night with AD? The biggest baby in sports. The biggest. He is Mr. Glass. This dude gets a forearm to his cheek. Now, it probably did hurt, but he stays down for like 2 minutes. He gets up. He wobbles toward the bench. He has his face in his hands. I mean, you would have thought he got shot and his dog got thrown off a bridge. It was amazing. And then he gets wheelchaired off the bench because of a forearm to the cheek. Are you kidding me? Let's go. Bring on the Lakers, because I keep saying that AD is not going to play in a lot of these games. He's going to get injured, and I see it happening again. I see it happening again. His arm's going to fall off or something like that. Bring on the Lakers. Let's go. I know Nuggets fans kind of burned by that. I know people are worried about LeBron and AD. Come on, bring it on. They got nobody else, and Mr. Glass is going to miss games. So anyways, let me talk about the rest of the playoffs here. In the East, the Nuggets are better than every team on paper, with the exception of the Celtics, who find themselves in a 2-3 hole as their series goes to Philly. Now, they win tonight in Philadelphia, then it'll be interesting, because if the Nuggets win, then the Nuggets will still be the favorites. If the Nuggets lose and the Celtics win, the Celtics will be the favorites. And if the Nuggets lose and the Sixers win, the Sixers will be the favorites there. So just what you can expect in the books. Now, I think the Nuggets do finish off the Suns at 7. It would not surprise me to see the Suns win this game tonight. But I won't blame you if you bet the Nuggets this evening. And a game breakdown in a moment. But again, if you want to bet them to win it all, plus 275, I don't blame you. I'll hold off for today just in case they lose to the Suns. As far as winning the West, I told you the odds there. If you want to back the Lakers, not the worst time. Not the worst time to do that. Again, I just think the Nuggets are the best team in the West. So let's talk about tonight. Let's talk about tonight because the Nuggets went from 3-point dogs to 3.5-point dogs, and you will see this line vacillate all day. And I highly doubt it gets to 4. If anything, I think late money comes in, pushes it down to 2.5. But the Nuggets are going to be dogs no matter what. Plus 128 on the money line. So I wrote my script up and just these notes. I wrote this 25 minutes ago, and already this thing is down from plus 128 to plus 123. Yeah, I think this number's going down to 2.5, maybe even 2. And a Joker triple-double is back to where it was in the regular season at plus 110. But let's start with a side here, and I want to give some overarching notes on what we're seeing out of the playoffs so far. First off, favorites leading 15-4 straight up, and they are 14-5 against the spread in the second round with a pick'em. So we're talking about what? About a 70% against the spread cover rate for the home teams. I mean, this is even more than normal. Usually you'll see that thing somewhere in the 60s, maybe 60, 65%, but no. Straight up the home teams, 14-6 ATS. Overs, 12-6-2. Overall in the playoffs, favorites, 43-19, not a surprise. They're hitting at 61%, though, overall in the playoffs, at 60.7% with one pick'em. So we know this. You go in, the home team has an advantage with the NBA. It's just fascinating. Go look at how badly the Nuggets played in game 4 on the road. They didn't play any defense, and they come home and they shut them down. They looked absolutely amazing, just amazing. No advantage against the spread in this series, though. The Nuggets are 3-2 against the spread. They're 0-2 in Phoenix against the spread. There's nothing against the total as well. It doesn't matter. But the Nuggets have really been more convincing than the Suns have when they've won these games. They're averaging 14.7. That's their margin of victory in the wins over the Suns. The Suns are averaging 6 points. So the Suns have not won a game by more than 7 points. These have been pretty close games that we've seen in Phoenix. And that is why a lot of people think the Nuggets could take this thing, steal a game there, and end it in 6. Now, heading into tonight, Joker, amazing in game 5, 29, 13, and 12, a triple-double, scored 53 points in that game 4 loss. I hope he doesn't have to score 53 points again because that means nobody's helping him. In Phoenix, Michael Malone said the Nuggets just weren't physical enough, they weren't tough enough, they weren't good enough when it mattered, so they came home and they absolutely dominated. They pressured Devin Booker from the get-go. The second he had the ball, even before he got to half court, he was pressured. So this is a game of adjustments. This is a series of adjustments. 7-game series, not a one and done like March Madness. Although I do prefer the one and done. The emotions, the roller coasters, the adjustments in these 7-game series are just spectacular. And it's not going to be as easy for the Nuggets to just slow down Devin Booker like they did last game. Couple reasons. A, the Suns will adjust. B, the Suns are at home. The question is whether or not the Nuggets can play as well defensively on the road as they have at home. Again, NBA fascinating that way. The home crowd just means so much. So for me, tonight's a bench game. We've seen Durant and Booker do their thing. We've seen Joker and to a lesser extent, Murray do his thing. But it's the bench. Landry Shamet, 1 game. Bruce Brown has had some big games. Bruce Brown, by the way, going to be very important from here on out. The dude scored 25 points. He is a remarkable talent and just the X factor coming off the bench. Like, he comes in instant energy, points, defense. He can guard the bigs. He can guard small guy. He just does everything. I love Bruce Brown. Love him. Love him. Love him. Love him. Now, I think we're going to get a better money line price for the Nuggets. It's going to hit plus 200 if they're down 8 to 10 points. And that's when I'll hit the side. I'll hit the side if I can get this thing probably plus 175 or better. And it's just going to happen. It's the NBA. It's the nature of the game. You're down 8 to 10 points. It happens. You'll go on a run. Like, I see teams down 14 points in the third quarter. And I go, they'll probably come back. It's the NBA. It's a game of runs. It's a stay away from me on the total. It's a stay away from me on the side. pre-flop. Now, again, we see this thing, maybe Nuggets getting 10 points. Maybe we get a plus 175. Then I hit it. But let's have some fun with the same game parlay. How does that sound? Let's do a little same game parlay action. We're going to have fun with this one, okay? Joker over 12 and a half rebounds. He's gone over this in 4 of 5. Ayton might not even play. If he does, he's been hot garbage. Jock Landale is not going to be able to contain Joker on the glass. Over 12 and a half rebounds. I've felt more comfortable betting the rebounds bet than I have the points and definitely the assists. And I actually had a friend of mine who bet over 9.5 assists the other day at, I think it was even money. And I'm like, why aren't you just betting the triple-double at this point? It was at plus 115. Why are you not betting the triple-double? Don't bet over assists on Jokic because he's going to get his points. He's going to get his rebounds. The double-double is like minus 10 trillion. Don't bet over assists on Jokic. Bet either the triple-double or bet the other ways to bet it. So Joker over 12 and a half rebounds. Love him tonight. Over in 4 of 5. Booker over 29 and a half points. Durant over 29 and a half points. I get it. You're seeing two guys that have to score 30 points or more. They have both gone over in the home games. And these two dudes know they have to carry the offense again. There's no other option. There's just none. Are they going to rely on Landry Shamet? Is Ross going to come out and win things for him? No. They just don't have much help. So that's a two-man band over there. Unfortunately for the Nuggets, a lot of times it's been a two-man band over here. But it was good to see Aaron Gordon light it up last game. Anyways, Joker over 12 and a half rebounds. Booker and Durant both over 29 and a half points. And let's throw this up to plus 7.5. Nuggets plus 7.5 again. The Suns have not won a game by more than 7 points here. The Nuggets could definitely win the game outright, but the Suns have won by 5 and 7 points in Phoenix. So you get a plus 600 price, 6 to 1. You throw $10 down, you get 60 back. Actually 70 back because you won the 60. Joker over 12 and a half, Booker Durant over 29 and a half, Nuggets plus 7.5, same game parlay, plus 600. Let's ship this thing and get the Nuggets to the Western Conference Finals, huh? Oh, yeah. Okay, let's get into a little bit of football, a little NFL. The Broncos. So we had the draft. Everything's going well. Sean Payton's hanging out with his beautiful wife, along with, who was it, Russell Wilson at the Nuggets game. So everything's kumbaya for now. Nuggets have just drawn all the stars. You know, you get Kale McCarr. Who was sitting next to him? John Calipari. They're all showing up to these games. Wait till they get to the finals. It's really going to get crazy there. But Broncos schedule will release. And what I'd like to see. I don't want to see more than 3 primetime games, please. Just don't. They'll get a Monday. They'll get Thursday. They'll get a Sunday nighter. And I'm fine with that. Just stack those games up early in the season in case this ship starts to sink. Remember last year? I mean, it started out ugly with those 6 primetime games. A Seattle game was gross. There was a Colts game that was gross. There was a Niners game. They actually beat the Niners. That game was gross. So let's get all the primetime games out the door early in the season. Maybe they flex them back if they have somebody good. We already know who they're going to play, so I've never really understood why everybody gets geeked up about the schedule release. Maybe we're all just pining for NFL stuff. You're not going to find a much bigger NFL fan than me, and the schedule release just doesn't do it for me. But you can also schedule your vacation. If you're only a guy or a girl that watches the Broncos, and there's plenty of people like that, fine, you go on vacation during the bye week. I can't do that. I bet at all. I don't miss an NFL game. But we know who they're going to play. They're going to play the Chiefs, the Raiders, and the Chargers 2 times. The home games, Commanders, Browns, Jets, Pats, Vikings, Packers. Okay, and we already know, as I sit here, the Packers game, when that's coming up, that's going to be an afternoon game. So it will be at home with Love and Wilson, head-to-head, October 22nd, afternoon game. On the road, Bears, Lions, Bills, Dolphins, Texans. Strength of schedule really doesn't matter. This is the other oh, their strength of schedule, it's so tough, or it's a really easy one. It changes every year. Nobody knows anything. when it comes to these teams as the season starts. Like, Kansas City and the Bills are the only locks to be elite teams. And who knows if injuries are going to affect those teams. Injuries happen all the time. Last year, what was it? A slight tear of his ACL. I think it was Josh Allen, and he really never bounced back from that. He was really good, but it wasn't the great Josh Allen. So guys get hurt all the time. Mahomes has been banged up plenty of times. And as of now, the Broncos are going 17-0. The schedule shtick is going to be there. Enjoy it, folks, if that's what you enjoy listening to. But I'll tell you this. Here's what I'm impressed with. Here's what I'm focusing on. 119 days until the 2023 NFL season kicks off. 122 days until the first Sunday of the NFL season. 123 days until the first Monday Night Football game. And then you got two of them. So here's all I'll say. Let's go. Okay, last but not least, let's talk some Rockies. They are red hot. You don't got to believe in them. I still don't believe this is a playoff team or anything like this, or even a 500 team, but they get a day off today. They host the Philadelphia Phillies Friday night. Who knows what the weather's going to be like? It's supposed to rain here for like the next week. But yesterday, the Rockies won their eighth game in 10 tries. And I backed the Rockies in the road at plus money on Bet Rivers, and they fell down 3-0. I said, uh-oh. And then they came back. Now, they're down their top two starting pitchers because Senzatella left the game yesterday with two outs in the third. And I'm saying to myself, gosh, you're already down, and now you got this bullpen that's going to have to pitch, you know, six-plus innings. And guess what? Five relievers combined to shut the Pirates out the rest of the way. This bullpen, I'm telling you, they've turned things around. Starting pitching stinks without Senzatella and Marquez. But the bullpen, and I mentioned this, I think, on Monday, outside of a couple of pitchers that got blown up early, they've come around. Three straight series wins for the Rockies. They've won 8 of 10. On the road, they're starting to hit. And I say this every show. It used to be auto bet, under 3.5 runs, auto bet. Under 2.5 runs, sometimes we bet that. Can't do it anymore. They took 2 of 3 from the Mets in New York. They scored 18 runs in that series. They scored 14 runs over three games in Pittsburgh. They were shut out once in each series. So you're probably going to win one of those bets because there's a game where the bats just go silent. The Mets shut them out one game. The Pirates shut them out one game. But then they've had these offensive explosions in the other two games. So where do they sit right now after winning 8 of 10? They're 16-22. So that April was just so bad. It's too tough for them to dig out of a hole. It's just too tough. But things are starting to balance out a little bit. Bullpen's coming together. Starting pitching going to be a major issue going forward without Marquez and Senzatella for a while. They're 30th in stolen bases. I'd love to see them run more. Teams are running more. You can only throw over a couple of times. These new rules, a lot of guys are stealing bases, tons of bases. Rocky's not taking advantage of that right now. Profar and Chris Bryant, they got hot on this past road trip. So again, things are starting to look up for the Colorado Rockies, finally. Do I think they're a good team? Absolutely not. I think they stink. But enjoy it while they're playing well. It's Ian Sinclair time. Play Colorado, playcolorado.com, and Mile High Report. He's smiling right now. I know you can't see it. You should be smiling for multiple reasons. Number one of which, the Nuggets, they're going to get one of these wins. They're getting back into the Western Conference Finals. How are you, my friend? What's going on in Ian Sinclair world?
I feel better after the second half of game five against the Suns. Mm-hmm. I was, my wife and I were a little concerned after the second quarter and the way that they just fell off the map offensively, but they got it back in the second half. And I think hopefully that's the harbinger of the way they play tonight in game six and play a complete game, because even those first two games that they beat Phoenix, I still don't feel like they played a complete game against Phoenix. Hmm. So I'm confident about them that they're going to get to the Western Conference Finals. But then the PTSD that I've told you about for the last year is them having to play the freaking Lakers in the Western Conference Final. Every single time the Nuggets have gone to the Western Conference Finals, they played this freaking franchise from LA. Every single time.
I mean, I think you need to relax because AD is going to miss a minimum of two games. The dude got hit in the face with an arm last night, and it was like, oh my God, his head almost fell off. He was on the ground for 2 minutes. Like, I've seen guys get punched in the face multiple times and be just fine. This guy gets hit in the cheek. He goes down, goes to the bench, and they have to wheelchair him off. Like, seriously, just bring in, it doesn't even have to be Jokic. Just, they'll bring in some stiff off the bench. Just bring in like Peyton Watson or something and just let him come in, crack AD one time. AD will miss two games. I've never seen anything like this. He is the biggest puss in sports. It's not even close. It is. I'm telling you right now, they play the Lakers, AD misses games. Guaranteed. They're going to beat the Lakers. They're going to beat the Lakers.
Latin soccer players.
No, he's worse than a soccer player.
Anthony Davis is soft. Like
he's softer than a soccer player.
Yeah, he's softer than Charmin. He's softer than melted butter.
Oof, that's pretty soft. Because basically that's a liquid at that point. He is a liquid. Yeah. He really is a liquid.
He is a liquid.
So you feeling good about tonight? Because I'm just betting these games live. I'm going to wait for the Nuggets to drop down by like 10 points because they'll come back and make it close. I think they will cover.
In the second quarter.
Yeah, in the second quarter, they'll drop down by 10. I'll get the Nuggets at, you know, plus 10 points. And if they lose, they'll lose by, you know, 2, 3, 4 points. Suns aren't blowing them out. I kind of think that the Suns do win this game, but I have no reservations about the Nuggets in this series. They're winning either game 6 or game 7. It's going to happen. So it's a fait accompli, and I truly believe that.
I think they win tonight. I think they win game 6.
Really?
And I think the key for the Nuggets is their defensive intensity. That is the key to this basketball team. And I think if you look at the way they played at the beginning of the first quarter, that defensive intensity where they were on top of the Suns as soon as they got into the offensive half court, that's what they need to do for 60 minutes or however long basketball is. That's what they need to do. And it needs to be nonstop. It needs to be constant harassment and double teams of Devin Booker. Let KD do his thing. He's missed more shots than he's made in this series. He hasn't been consistent. And you play your odds. Play the fact that you're going to double team Devin Booker every single time he touches the ball. And he's going to have two guys on him like, I don't know, flies on you know what.
Butter?
It's just... it flies on anything at this point, but that's what it needs to be. And then the other aspect is defensive rebounding. They need to dominate on the boards. Don't allow the Suns to get second chance opportunities that they can kick out and get threes or uncontested jumpers. To me, those are the two things, because it's not about talent. It's about focus. It's about effort.
Are you betting the game in any way, shape or form pre-flop?
If I did, I would do Jokic, or I would do, depending on what the line is for the game line, maybe the spread. 3.5.
Yeah, 3.5.
I might do the Nuggets.
Okay. So that's one way to look at it with the Nuggets. Let's move on to the Avalanche, because the Avalanche at the end of last year, the window was open for like 10 years. They were going to win every single cup, right? And usually I don't get sucked into that. But now Landeskog's going to miss next year. And then the Nichushkin situation is just bizarre. Can we talk about Landeskog for a second? Could they win the definitely. Cup next year without Landeskog? They're obviously going to need a replacement. Can they win without him?
I think so. And it depends on who they bring in. Because now this gives McFarland and Sakic some clarity on at least what they can do with the roster. I think there was throughout the entire season, there was uncertainty about whether or not he was going to be back. Now there's not. They know he's going to be gone the entire season. So that gives them the ability to go out and get a second line center, whether it's Sidney Crosby, whether it's Jonathan Toews, whoever it is, this gives them the ability to go out and do that.
So they're going to be fine. The Nichushkin thing, are you hearing anything about anything? It's completely.
I'm not. I think the fact that they're still not talking about it, I think this goes back to what I said to you last time. The bells are ringing in my head. This has something to do with Russia. I have no confirmation of that. I have nothing on it. Something about it just doesn't feel right. And it says this has something to do with his home country. And I've not heard anything about it because no one is saying anything. All we know is that There is no law involved. He didn't break any team rules, didn't break any law. So I don't know. And the fact that the Avs are being so mum in his season-ending news conference, McFarland said, I can't and will not talk about it. So that tells me this is bigger than that. So it's just very bizarre, very weird. I hope we get clarity. I hope Nichushkin is okay. I think the fact that we haven't, that no one has said whether or not he is still in the country. We don't even know if he's still in the country.
What the
hell?
We
don't know how he is doing. I hope he is okay. But the fact that there isn't any communication or clarity is what leads to the gossip. So I hope for his sake and for the Avs, they're able to get it if they don't already have it.
They don't care about the Avalanche don't care about the information that's getting out here. They just don't. And I don't blame them. It's just one of the more bizarre situations because there's so many theories that are out there and they all could be correct. They all could be wrong. It doesn't make sense. What, Putin's calling him back? Was it sex trafficking? Was it this? Was it that? Seriously, just everything is out there. The Avalanche don't care about putting an end to this speculation. And
I wish they did. I wish that the Avalanche and professional sports organizations would treat their fans with respect because they invest in their franchises and in their organizations. The fans deserve to be treated like human beings and with respect that they can handle this. We're not stupid. I hate the fact that the communication experts for these professional sports franchises don't get that.
Well, again, whatever this is, it's going to end up coming out at some point in time. It's just fascinating right now. Yeah, eventually.
And I'm curious to see what the Avs do because now this gives them some flexibility. Do they bring in Nathan McKinnon's buddy from Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia? Do they bring in Sidney Crosby? Could you imagine him as the second center for this team behind
McKinnon? They're not getting Sidney Crosby. Come on. Stop it.
I'm just throwing it out there. The Penguins are a mess.
They are. And they're going to be a bigger mess if they trade Sidney Crosby because no one's going to show up to watch them. Here's what we found out. Francois, adductor issue. Lehkonen, broken toe. Manson, procedure last week. Cogliano, AC sprain. All those guys were hurt.
And his neck.
Everybody in hockey has these issues, especially as the playoffs roll on. My last thing for the Avs for you, though, is Georgiev. How are you feeling going forward with him in the between the pipes?
I think he'll be fine. Mm-hmm. I think he played better than Darcy Kuemper. We saw that throughout the regular season. I don't think that they had the depth that they need defensively. And I've said this before, Samuel Girard needs to go. He's not a good player. He's not consistent. He's not reliable. He needs to go. And I'm curious to see what happens with Eric Johnson because I get it that he was coming off a broken leg, but he didn't play well either. Is he going to retire? What's going to be the status with him? They need to figure out defensively and they need to get the second line center. Those are the two things they need to figure out.
So tonight is the big schedule release. Are you a big schedule release guy? Are you going to celebrate this with the Broncos?
No, I am a, hopefully they don't open on Monday Night Football again because I'm old and I don't want to stay up at night. I want them to have a regular
mountain time. We're in mountain time and Monday Night Football is too late for you.
It's too late. I want a Sunday opener. It'd be even better if it was on the road because then they're playing at 11, but 11 to just give Broncos country a normal regular season Sunday opener. No more of this Monday Night Football opener, please and thank you. And then where's the bye?
Oh, that's what it is. The late Monday night game is what you have a hard time staying up for.
Oh, yeah, because I feel like they're going to open against the Chargers.
I would not be surprised. It'll be like
8:30.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Just doing sports radio for so long, the schedule comes out, and it's just I hated listening to people get geeked up about it. And maybe it's because I'm a Grinch or something, but – we already know who they're playing, okay?
Yeah,
now exactly. All they're telling you is when they're playing. And I just don't – and then we have to go through the schedule. Oh, just 17-0. Screw it. You know what? You want to go through the schedule of wins and losses? I can't take that seriously. They're going 17-0. Deal with it.
Yeah. Pat Bowlen, that's what he did every single year when the schedule came out. and longtime columnist Woody Page still does it. But I, to me, I look at, okay, are we finally not going to get a Monday night opener? And where's the bye? But also, where are the difficult games on the schedule? Because typically, I think you would like to have the early games or the easy games earlier so that you can get the kinks ironed out. But to me, it's all about where's the bye? Do they get an early season bye or do they get it? I think the prime spot is week 8 to week 9.
Okay, that's absolutely fine. And maybe you're doing your vacation around the Broncos bye. That would be the reason to get all geeked up about it. But again,
well, it's more so because where are the Thursday night games and how many do they play since the NFL made this ridiculous, stupid decision to do 2 Thursday night games? 1 enough is bad, but 2 enough is just a horrible decision. So how many primetime games do they get? I think one thing that we've already seen is we're finally going to see the Broncos not have to play in Arrowhead in December, because that is a guaranteed loss every single time they play in Arrowhead in December, going back all the way to Elway. So that's a positive that they're going to get the Chiefs in December at home. So it's those little things.
That's that. Anything else on your mind, or you want to go plug everything you're doing?
Well, at playcolorado.com, we're going to have the opening date of the Chamonix Hotel in Cripple Creek, which is going to be opening around Christmas. So that will be up. We'll have an update on the potential gambling issue with the Colorado Rapids with that player and an unauthorized sports book in Brazil. So we'll have something on that. And we'll have an interview with the recently retired Dan Hartman, the director of the Division of Gaming.
So all of that will be
available at playcolorado.com. And then you'll enjoy this. We'll have everything you need to know about the schedule at Mile High Report.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to do that, are you?
I'm not, but we'll have other people.
Someone will, because all you do is Broncos. Okay, very good. I mean, you do need some off-season content, my friend. Thanks again for hopping on, as always. Thanks to Melissa, Adam, Terry behind the scenes for making this possible. I'm Holden Kushner, and thanks for checking out the Denver CityCast and the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.